Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you want to see a bipartisan compromise, a bill that can pass both houses of Congress and that I can sign, let your members of Congress know. Make a phone call, send an email, tweet. Keep the pressure on Washington, and we can get past this.
President Obama last week opening up the social media fire hose, encouraging Americans to tweet your representatives. And it didn't stop there. Last Friday, after the president's call to action, the @BarackObama Twitter account was buzzing with activity. The account began to list the Twitter handles of pretty much every Republican representative. Sample message, Oklahoma voters, tweet at Tom Coburn and at Jay Imhoff and ask them to compromise on a balanced deficit solution. Less than 140 characters. 30 seconds later, if you live in Pennsylvania, ask @SenatorToomey to support a bipartisan compromise to the debt crisis. And it went on and on. Ultimately, over 50 messages just like that went out on Twitter last Friday. The reaction, decidedly mixed. Many people, no doubt, took up the president's call to action, but lots of folks began to unfollow the president. In fact, some 30,000 followers left the president's account last Friday. I've seen another stat that said 44 unfollowed him. Right-wing press picked up on this immediately as a sign that the president was losing the message. But it's a little more complicated than that, as it turns out. Mika Sifri, co-founder of the Personal Democracy Forum and tech president, pointed out yesterday that Barack Obama gained back just as many followers over the weekend. So what's the lesson about how social media was used in the debt ceiling brinkmanship? Did Barack Obama break Twitter etiquette? Hey, Mika Sifri, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here.
Clear this up for us once and for all. Did the president scare off a significant number of his own Twitter followers last Friday or not?
No, not really. I mean, he's got about 9.4 million, and it seems to go up at a rate of about 15,000 a day. 10 to 15,000 a day.
In general?
In general. And if you track it going back 6 months or more, you will see just a very steady line. It's almost like hydraulic, you know. It goes up at that level because Twitter itself is growing. And Barack Obama is a celebrity. And when people sign on to Twitter, they look to follow familiar names. The president is one of them. He had a one-day drop on Friday because he was very active that day. And sure, his account, which, by the way, the Barack Obama account is now being run by the Obama campaign, so they're using it for more political purposes than the White House account.
There's an Obama White House Twitter feed and an Obama campaign Twitter feed?
Well, you know, this is one of these gray areas. Now that he's officially running for reelection, they took the Barack Obama Twitter feed, which, by the way, started 4 years ago when he was running for president. But once he got into the White House, they were using it for official purposes. And now they're again using it for campaign purposes.
And they can just move the followers from campaign to governance?
They didn't move the followers. They just kept the same account. They separately created an official @WhiteHouse account. This is, again, you know, there's something called the Hatch Act, which says that you shouldn't use government resources for political purposes. Social media has been developing so quickly that this is one of these things that those of us who obsess about this are still a little confused, whether the growth of the Barack Obama account over the last few years while he was in the White House can just be handed off to the campaign the way they've done. But everybody else does that in Congress, too. So
interesting. So here's a sample blowback reaction to the president's tweets. One person wrote, at Barack Obama, it would have been sufficient to post this link in the first place. Instead, you paid someone to spam all day. So is there a bigger lesson in here about the pace of tweeting?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of lessons here. The first one is that when you have 9 million followers, anything you do is likely to annoy a percentage, you know, one-third of 1% deciding to stop following him one day isn't that big a drop, especially as it's just gone back up. What I think is interesting is that these tools are still like, you know, blunt hammers when you need scalpels. And, you know, someone who follows Barack Obama from a particular congressional district might be the person he really wanted to message, right?
Yeah.
And to get that person to message their member of Congress. And one thing I've
He repeat tweeted and didn't just send it once because it's just so ephemeral if you send it once?
If you send it once, you're not reaching as many people as sending all day. And I'm sure they decided that it was worth the risk that they'd lose some followers. By the way, when they were done on Friday with their last one of these annoying tweets, they said, "We're done for now, we swear."
Right. And for context, I mean, our show usually tweets 3 or 4 times a day from my account. But every once in a while, I will live tweet a debate or a speech or something. And when that happens, I inevitably lose some people who just want a calmer flow in their Twitter accounts. But I gain some people who appreciate the real-time information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think over time, we're going to learn how to use these tools in more modulated ways. And so I might sign up for Brian Lehrer Live for when you know you're going to do live tweeting, and I just want to get that fire hose from you. And I think, you know, this was a case where they just decided that they needed to push every lever that they had to try and build public support.
Okay, we're gonna sign up for that handle right now. Just one tag here. Newt Gingrich repeatedly claims that he has the most Twitter followers of any GOP presidential hopeful, about 1.3 million. But yesterday, Gawker reported that many of his followers aren't actually people. Do you understand that?
Well, I think the Gawker story is mistaken. There are a lot of spam Twitter accounts, and there are services that, in fact, will try and artificially pump up somebody's numbers. You can, in fact, sort of buy, you know, these fake followers. But that's not why Newt Gingrich's numbers are so high. He's been on Twitter from very early, which will advantage anybody who gets into one of these services early. And Twitter used to have something called the suggested users list, which for new people was like a list of folks you were suggested to follow. And anybody who got put on that list early got a boost, sometimes, you know, upwards of 1 million followers in the early days of Twitter. And Newt Gingrich was on that list. So he has a lot of people there that he didn't earn the old, you know, what you might call the organic way, which is one at a time, but more because Twitter was pointing its homepage and their ability to, you know, shine attention on a few people onto him.
All right. Well, we will never pay anyone to follow us on Twitter, nor will we pay the police to not report our phone hacking. Oh, wait, we don't do phone hacking.
No, no, no.
All right. Mika Sifry, co-founder of the Personal Democracy Forum and Tech President, which follows social media and other technology in politics.
And at MLSIF on Twitter, if you want to follow me.
MLSIF?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Mika.
Take care, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Ramadan Mubarak, everybody. And in fact, Ramadan Mubarak meets the trial of Hosni Mubarak. We'll begin a country-by-country series on the Islamic Holy Month in the year of the Arab Spring. Egypt first. Stay tuned.